Hi, this is the Blender Coach, and you're listening to a Touchline Rants latest podcast, Back of the Net.
Oh, you still recorded it, you.
This is the come down after the quiz.
Yeah, it is.
Gentle Rogues.
Yeah.
It's number 78.
Number 78.
Yeah.
The come down to the quiz.
The come down.
Yeah.
Quiz, little man.
And do you know where we're doing this episode? In the international wilderness. That's where we're doing it.
Yeah. You say that, but there's been a lot of things that
happened. There's been a lot that's happened since. Right, so last week we did our first live show at Little Man Coffee Cardiff.
Yeah.
It went as well as we could have hoped, I guess.
Yeah, it was like a dream.
Yeah?
It went so well.
It went really well. Thank you to everyone.
Thank you to everyone. Thank you to Freshwater.
Freshwater for the sponsor.
Thanks to the Wallets. Wales. You were awesome.
The Wallets were brilliant. So yeah, we just wanted to say thank you. This is 78.
What things have we got in the show?
In the show today,
we've got any cool stuff? Yeah, or is it just like
we've got our melons firmer in a supermarket or a fruit stand?
Yeah,
that's coming up. So that's something to look forward to.
Yeah,
to discuss that hot topic within the footballing world.
Large question, hot topic.
We've got to answer: is it better the second time around? We got that coming up.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Enough to keep on listening.
Yeah.
And that's huge if true.
Huge.
Got a new feature.
New feature. I think we best get started there, really.
Huge if true.
Yeah.
Okay, let's fuck off.
Let's go.
Enough of this. Right. Convince me now.
Yeah.
Get me all excited.
Yeah.
About the games coming up this weekend.
Okay. Right.
Set the scene.
Okay.
Spin me a yarn.
Well, we've said, but I'm not the biggest fan of international football. However, I think the Nations League has got me into it a lot more. Like,
it's working.
The League of Nations.
Yeah, it's got me in. It got me involved. Because they were some damn good matches of football.
Yeah.
And they were so well even. They were so evenly matched. It got me excited about international football again. And then we had the great World Cup as well.
Yeah.
In national football, suddenly, it's reminding me of my favourite period as a football fan, which was 95-96.
Mm.
Because 95-96 was the year Cantona came back and Man United overtook Newcastle. And then you had Euro 96 in England. That's my purest moment as a football fan. That's my purest memory of being a football fan, those 2 years. And I'm getting that excited about international football again.
I know you're excited.
Okay.
There's some good games. There's some good games coming up.
Who's playing who?
Right. A really good game that you've got coming up is the England game is going to be interesting, to be fair, which is against the Czech Republic.
On a Friday night. That kicks off the weekend, doesn't it? Good start to the weekend.
Yeah, it's a really good
start. Do you know
what
I like, actually, about the international, before we go into the other games that might tickle your fancy, Alex?
Tickle my trout.
Is the fact that I quite enjoy the fact that I don't like it as much with club games, but I quite like it when the international games are kind of staggered throughout the week because and I'll give you the reason why. The main reason is because it makes the international break seem there isn't like a big gap in between that and then the league fixtures starting again with your clubs. But I quite like the fact there's a nice stagger of games and it starts with England and Czech Republic on a Friday.
Scores for that.
I think
England by a couple.
Yeah, I'm going to go 2-1.
Going to go 3-0 England, actually.
You're going to go 3-0,
yeah? Yeah, I was going to go 3-0. I think England could get them. What I like about these fixtures and this particular international break is there's also a bit of subtext with England, say. Let's start with England. Because you've got... when the squad was announced, there was a few players who you would imagine weren't there on form. By that, I mean Kieran Trippier.
Yeah.
Like, what's Kieran Trippier doing there? He's had an awful season. But it looked as though Southgate was sticking with the old... Yeah, he had the great World Cup, and that's what I'm getting to. He had a really good World Cup, an awful season. But Southgate stuck with him because of how he performed at the World Cup. Probably in the face of the fact that maybe Aaron Wan-Bissaka deserved a call-up.
Yeah.
And he didn't get one. But interestingly now, Alexander-Arnold has pulled out. So it could be that his replacement is Wan-Bissaka. But you've also got JWP, Ward-Prowse, caught his first call-up to the senior squad.
Madison's not in, is he?
No, I don't think Madison's in it. No. But Hudson-Odoi is.
Mm.
Callum Hudson-Odoi, the man that Chelsea don't want to play, but they don't want.
That was my international call. That was the international call. That was Giggs saying, Mitch, we know you're 34 years old now. You've got to stop ringing me, Ryan.
That's relentless.
You've got to stop ringing me.
Ryan Giggs trying hard. Yeah.
But that's what happened when Hudson-Odoi's phone rang.
It was his agent, and he rang like that, and he said, Callum, I got great news for you. Have you accepted the bid? No. No, Callum, they haven't. They got a transfer ban. You're probably stuck there on the bench playing in the League Cup for 2 more years.
But you have got a call.
Gareth Southgate's been on the blower. Yeah. Every cloud. Callum.
Every cloud. Give him the bad news first and make him enjoy the good news more.
Back later, I've told you.
Yeah. Busy.
So, you've also got then...
Jadon Sancho.
Has been around...
Murking off England guys.
Yeah, look, certainly.
On the training sesh.
Jadon Sancho is the most exciting English talent.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
For a long while. But the thing with England, genuinely, think of the talent that they currently have. You know, in Rashford is on fire at the minute.
Literally.
Lingard is playing really well. You've got, you know, Henderson struggled.
But let's not get carried away here, shall we?
No, I genuinely...
Just calm down, Rainier.
You've got Harry Kane.
I think they're going to win.
I think England will win 5-0. Let's move on to the games. There's another bit of subtext away from England is Germany where Joachim Löw has told Hummels, Boateng and Müller that they're
get
retired.
On their bike.
Yeah, he's told them that they're retired from international football. He's forced them into... It's the David Beckham and Steve McLaren moment.
A football euthanasia, if you will.
Where they said, sorry, but you're not... You don't need to be here anymore.
No, you're out to pasture. Now you're going to the boneyard. Take the glue factory. Get out of here.
There's another reason why this year is one of the best for me in football the last, say, 2 years. It's things like that where it's just like, where did that horrible, horrible year for Germany come from? Like, where did that come from?
That's the ebb and flow of the game. Right,
But think of
where they began, where before the World Cup, loads of people were saying, oh, they could win it because they're brilliant.
Yeah.
And then they go out at the earliest opportunity at the World Cup.
Yeah.
And then
League of Nations.
They were relegated. Like, they've had a shocker.
And they're playing one of the teams that made them get relegated. Yeah. The Netherlands. Put them out to pasture in the League of Nations.
It's interesting.
Let me sum this up. I'm a bit more excited now. Thank you.
I'm going to sum up by saying... the word global.
Global.
Say global.
Global.
Jose was pretty scathing about your performance.
I don't know you would. He can't take it. He just can't take it because we've out-tacticked him, we've out-witted him. You know what I mean? He just can't cope, can he? Like, you know, so there you go.
So I think it's time to play a bit of a game.
Okay, I like games.
It's a nice game.
I like games. So it's not a love game, is it?
It is a little bit, yeah. Okay, right. Love it, actually. It's a thing we've devised on a touchline rant. Yeah. It's called VBD versus.
VBD so versus. It's Virgil, patent pending, copywritten.
Van Dyke, so don't copy me. Virgil van Dijk.
Imitation is the greatest form of flattery.
Versus. Yeah. So VBD versus. So VBD Virgil versus. Van Dijk. Versus
in honour of Chris Sutton saying that Virgil van Dijk is the greatest.
It is that, but I think we've taken it above and beyond that. I think we've taken it to
what
extraordinary
else in
level.
This mortal realm is VVD
I'm going to put it to
better
you.
Than? Okay, so go on.
Let's play the game.
Dun.
So, Virgil van Dijk.
Yeah.
Versus. Pizza.
Oh. Right, that's a really difficult one. Can I just say, pizza's definitely got the cheese factor.
Yes, got the cheese factor.
That is
solid base. Well, we all know VVD would win that.
Solid base is, you know, I think actually.
Can pizza head of football at seven?
Pizza beats a lot of things on solid base.
Does pizza get a soggy bottom?
They can do. They both got hard bases.
Can they get a soggy bottom though, a pizza? Say, like, if you get one with too many peppers. or onions, yeah. or it's mayo.
Or you've both. Or you've cooked a pizza from yeah. frozen, mm. and the you and know it's thawed a bit too much.
This might be the toughest one so far.
I think it might be right. I'm gonna go out and say it. Okay, I'm just gonna say it because I don't think he'd like, you know, anchovies on him. I'm gonna yeah. say Virgil van Dijk is not as good as a pizza. Pizza's better.
Pizza's better. Pizza's
better. Well.
I think he's. I mean, I suppose you. If you're gonna have to think, we're gonna have to get our mind away from flavors and toppings here, and just think.
Think of your favorite pizza. Think of your favorite pizza.
I think, was you saying think of my favorite one? Yeah. Well, then I mean I know Virgil van Dijk is good.
Yeah.
But I think I'm also gonna go with pizza because.
Wow.
There is yeah. something for everyone, whereas I think in Virgil van Dijk, there's not.
There's more variety for everyone with pizza with Virgil yeah. van Dijk. He is what he is. He's not changing for you. He's no not. Matter if you go to the self-serve.
I know.
And he's not changing.
And usually you that works in his advantage. But in this situation, the pizza's variety.
And despite, flexibility.
Flexibility, despite the issues with the base, where sometimes you can get a soggy bottom,
yep.
whereas VVD doesn't. I still think Virgil the overriding van Dijk, factors.
Stuffed crust.
Virgil van Dijk would not.
He wouldn't.
So, I got a story about cheesecake. Where we used to be sponsored, the football team I play for, by a local pub. And we went to the pub and we usually order food afterwards, or we have some deal with them as their sponsor. And I ordered a cheesecake for dessert. And sat down, waited for the cheesecake, and then this thing came out, which definitely wasn't a cheesecake. It basically looked like a round sort of sorbet with a crust. And as she put it down, she said, oh, she did tell you it's not a cheesecake, isn't it? As she put it down. I thought, well, first of all, no, she didn't. And secondly, it's called cheesecake on your menu. And basically, it was some weird, like, cheesecake bomb thing that they call them, where it's not really a cheesecake. It doesn't even look like it. I don't even know why it shares a name. And she said, oh, okay, fine. And then... And she comes back like 2 minutes later, and I'm like, well, I definitely wasn't explained that it wasn't a cheesecake. She comes back, she says, oh, I just spoke to my colleague, and she said she definitely did tell you that it wasn't a cheesecake. I was like, hang on a second, I want a blimmin' cheesecake here. And she's come in and explained to me that her colleague she's arguing against me that she told me that it was a cheesecake. So I sat there and half the team were there, like laughing their head off, and I can't order a cheesecake on a menu ever again. So that's basically my cheesecake story.
So do you know what happened this week? Or last week, actually. We haven't had a chance to talk about it.
Go for it.
Zinedine Zidane is back at Real Madrid.
Should you go back?
Should you go back?
That's what I'm asking you, Mitch.
I think the once the bitten, myth twice shy. Of you should never go back because it never works out. As I think the
different times.
That's been eroded. I think that's been a rough
different times. You're saying change is always going to happen. Change is always going to be change.
And I think in the circumstances, you should go back. I think in this instance, I would say it's a bit odd. I probably
it is a bit. Do you know what I but think?
I'm not saying you should never go back.
I started thinking along the lines of him going back there potentially tarnishes his legacy. But at the end of the day, he's going to be a Real Madrid legend regardless because what he did as a player. And then to come in and win 3 on the bounce at Real. No one had ever done it twice and he did it 3 times.
Zidane.
Thrice.
Zidane. You're talking about the European Cup now because just for the European record, Cup. Real Madrid have won 3 games in a row.
Yes. Just to make sure. He won 3 European Cups on the bounce. And potentially, basically he's come in and he's just gone, you know, Perez went to him and just went, look, just come back and save us again.
Zidane is exactly what Real Madrid need right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, he convinced Zidane to come back. And Zidane has basically held him to a king's ransom and got it.
Yeah.
I want complete control.
And that's why, I mean, that's
who
obviously...
I sign, and I want X amount of money. Apparently, he's been given a large sum of money promised to him in
the
summer.
So his situation has got way better from when he left not too long ago. I mean, from my point of view, I think it's good for
there's more managers competing at that level.
It's good for Real Madrid because, as I was saying before, I don't think, even after the Ajax game when we were talking about, I don't think they need a massive rebuild there because at the end of the day, they had won a lot of European Cups on 3 on a bounce of the Zidane.
Yeah.
It works for Real Madrid, Zidane, I was more surprised that Zidane had said yes, given, you know, the fact that it wasn't too long ago that he was obviously then looking at a new challenge.
Yeah.
But clearly, for the reasons we mentioned, Luke, then he suddenly got himself a lot better deal and money talks, but also the control element, which is something I suppose a lot of managers going into Real Madrid probably would be the only thing that might make you think, hang on.
He's got the contacts, got the player contacts, and get anyone in.
He's going to get.
He's going to be a positive force for them. It's going to make him believe again.
What can they expect of him now between now and the end of the season? Because they're way behind Barca in the league.
Yeah.
Out. They recently got knocked out and cut by them as well. They're out of the Champions League. So, I mean, I guess he's already going to look at next season, save face a bit, look towards next season.
Real Madrid is now, they've got a save face. And it was interesting when he did then in his first game back, where he's. Bale came back into starting lineup.
Yeah.
Navas, importantly, Keylor Navas came back into the starting lineup.
And this is going to be a weird situation for Real Madrid, where they're going to get towards the back of the season where they're probably in the hunt for nothing, and it's going to be unusual because this is a situation where it's a club that demands the here and now, mm-hmm. but there is actually an opportunity to start to kind of rebuild slash. You know, on a small scale, even that, but also look at what can you do looking at next season. And it's an unusual position for them. They're going to have to maybe almost be patient. If Zidane is going to experiment and try new things between now and the season.
It's a great time to come in for a manager. I think Zidane's looking at that.
It could be good for him in that sense, but it's going to be a weird adjustment for Real Madrid, for their fans, for...
There's a lot of freedom involved in this appointment. He's got a lot of freedom available to him as a manager. I think it's interesting from Real because I do think it's a bit of a step down. Well, this is the problem. It's in the wider context of... I was thinking, as a Manchester United fan, if Solskjaer leaves, who would I want to take over the club? And it actually brings up... When you look at all the top managers, actually, there's not a lot of room to manoeuvre there because Mourinho's now completely out of fashion and he needs to rebuild slightly. Probably he'll do it in France. Thomas Tuchel is signed up. You've got, what's his name, the German coach, currently at Hoffenheim. He's going to Leipzig. Nagelsmann.
Mm.
Yeah, Julian Nagelsmann.
That's a done deal. Then.
He signed up. He's going to, the start of next season, he takes over at, where did he take over? Red Bull Leipzig.
Leipzig, yeah.
So, yeah, exactly. So
all the big managers. There is a massive lack of choice. Sarri is currently, obviously...
Sarri will do great things wherever else he
But wants. What I mean is Real Madrid is genuinely...
Bielsa is probably the most high profile, right?
Like the only place that they could turn, I thought, Real Madrid, rather than Zidane. I was fully prepared for them to go after Pochettino. I was...
Yeah, his thing is... Like, the Poch thing is just... Bob, come give me scritches. Quickly.
We got fans.
We got... I don't know.
Bob's going to give him scritches.
Boys, hang on. Who let the cat in? Why is there a cat here?
The replay, something that he really didn't want either way.
No, I was really looking forward to it. I thought it'd be a good idea for a minute to go. I thought we'd, you know, give him a goal because I'd like to go to Elland Road on a Tuesday night. I haven't been up there for a few years.
The future.
Okay.
What does the football landscape hold? It's the year 2050. What has happened? That is the question I'm posing to you.
Okay.
Have a little think about it. In the meantime, I'll tell you what it's actually going to be like.
First, I've got a first shout on this one.
Okay. Like, go ahead.
Robot referees.
Clubs are run by Bitcoin owners and blockchain moguls.
Yeah.
Who just interact through the...
Blockbuster out of business?
Yeah.
Is that what you said? Blockbuster.
Blockbuster's gone.
Everyone's going to be sponsored by Blockbuster.
You can just watch it on the telly at home.
Richard Branson is still a man. He's been kept alive.
He's revered as a god.
Some machinery.
A gold sun god.
He owns four clubs.
Yeah. But above that, the hierarchical structure is Elon Musk. He's at the top.
So the era. So you're telling me that in the year 2050, there is no possible chance that we're going to see another Barry Fry.
Think Blade Runner. With football.
Okay.
With football stadiums. Rutger Hauer
is trying to get West Ham out of a relegation.
He's the chairman of the Premier League.
Is he? Okay.
Rutger Hauer travels back in time in order to be the chairman of the football
nation. So this is what? This is your prediction?
No, this is actually going to happen. So it'll be virtual stadiums. You can actually become a player. You'll have that insight. So you'll rarely, seldom go see.
I'm still going to probably be alive football. In 2050.
You're gonna see, yeah, but you're probably going to think, oh, I'm going to watch football. Okay, I could go down there. I could just like zone in to being like Leo Messi's grandkid.
So I'm going to be in my 60s when this happens.
Yeah. I'm just going to move
if I go
fast.
That long.
Yeah. If you guys can say
if I go that long.
Because the players so, will be bred in a matrix
we're
style
see this.
System.
I'm
there'll
not
be pods. There'll be DNA. They'll be engineered with
what,
the best
well,
DNA
I've
of the best players.
Me?
Think of the well, matrix. Think yeah. of the gel pods. Oh.
Okay.
It's so going to be gonna go, AI go. In a human body.
We're that's... not going to go to the stadiums to watch the games. We'll do it. Everyone will watch it from their yeah. home and some of them can play.
You'll be. You'll seem like you're playing.
All of us can play.
You can
is
choose
this
it. It's sort of a bit
or
like the football game.
Football?
So is there no real football?
There is real football, but I was just getting to that with the well, matrix yeah. style pods, which breed players with the capabilities of the greats. So you're looking at, okay, well, I need a striker. Well, I'm going to mix
yeah.
the DNA of Ronaldo
and
Efanikoko
and
Carlton Court and Leo
hang
Messi.
On.
So and then he's going to have the best attributes for that position. And then he'll be
Buffon
engineered.
Or Grizovic.
He'll be a bit together.
Can I clarify one thing? So
more.
You're basically telling me that the Premier League and football as we know it is going to be like FIFA Ultimate Team, where you can just go, I need a new left-sided striker. Oh, Ronaldinho was good. I'll just engineer him.
That's exactly what it is. I need a Cafu-style player in this role. Who do I go to? That's it. And there's no more borders. There's no more borders. There's
no borders.
More clubs and stuff.
No.
Because we've all connected with each other.
Oh.
So it's either going to be like... Probably, I see it as being maybe north the equator, south the equator.
Okay, right, paint the picture for me of this landscape.
Blade Runner
thinking...
with football.
Okay, so am I thinking... No, just in the landscape in general of the world, am I thinking of a dark dystopian future
with bin lids
and
fire.
Basically, dark Escape from New
cyberpunk
York.
Cyberpunk is going to be cyberpunk.
Is the world
well.
Escape from New York, or is the world like Pleasantville? That's your question.
All the cyberpunks... Mixed in with the cyberpunks from the Warriors.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. In a football
environment.
In a football landscape.
Okay. Is this like the Truman Show with all these players then?
Well,
do they know their engine?
The thing is,
this
is
a
case of
sector.
Is it predestined or does it just take hold? So that's where we're going with it. So is it like a game of FIFA where you control everything?
Yeah. Well,
still be fun.
Do you know
yeah,
what
I'll be
gonna,
there?
Do you know what I was going to say about the. Future of football. Do you want to know my
go for
argument?
It.
Have you got any more?
No, I'm good.
Okay. My all I was going to suggest was exactly
right
the same, but hoverboards.
Yeah. Should have had hoverboards by now.
Yeah.
Good. Carry on. Good. 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 Guys, it's time for Championship Corner.
Yes.
Mitch's Corner.
Mitch's Corner, which is Championship Corner. And we've had a couple of rounds of fixtures, actually, because the beautiful world of the Championship means that they're...
It never quits.
They never stop with the Championship. And so there have been a couple of rounds of fixtures since the last Championship Corner. And I think there's been some big winners in it. Some big movers and shakers.
Leeds.
Yeah. Leeds dropping points home to Sheffield United. So Sheffield United, huge, huge victors at Elland Road. Massive win for them in the chase for automatic promotion. So, big result there. Norwich continue to do well, but the two major ones to watch out for are two big clubs. Aston Villa, after winning in the Midlands Derby with a bit of a ruckus there, with the fan coming on the pitch, then going to the City Ground and beating my boys, and then actually thumping Middlesbrough 3-0 at home as well. So they have won, I think it's four in a row they've won now, which is major at this stage of the season. And the other team to watch out for is Sheffield Wednesday. Steve Bruce has done a fantastic job. They're 11 unbeaten now, and they continue They continue their march up the table. And when you get to this stage of the season, you start to get to the point where you think those teams that make a late run for the playoffs are usually the ones you want to avoid like the plague, because they're the ones that are in form, they've got the momentum, that's key. And we see it so many times that the teams that have been up there fighting for automatic promotion, if you just miss out, which is why this Sheffield United win at Leeds was so big in the race for automatic promotion. Those that are just missing out, well, they're usually the ones that often have a bit of heartbreak in the playoffs as well. So be interested to see. We've got the international break, so the championship does actually start because the international break, because it's full of international quality, world-class stars. But they'll resume again after the international break. I'll be interested to see whether the teams I mentioned can continue their runs of form, or if we'll see some people sliding back to the table again. That's it.
That's a great corner.
Yeah.
Welcome to my edition.
Oh, we've got an edition.
Huge if true.
What's that, Al?
Do you know what huge if true is?
No.
No, what's that?
Copywritten is what it is.
I spin you a yarn.
Yeah.
Right? You have to figure out, am I lying or am I telling the truth? Am I telling the truth? Am I lying?
Okay.
Okay. This event happened.
Yeah.
Recently. Probably last week, I'd say.
Yeah.
About a week ago.
It was on a Friday. Just about a week ago.
Friday. I'm writing Friday down.
Friday, yeah.
Evidence.
I think that's important in the story, yeah. So I'm going to write Friday down in big letters.
What happened guy, on Friday?
Guy I know, friends with now.
Yeah,
He's a taxi driver.
Taxi driver friend.
Write that down.
Friend.
Mentioned to me, he had a pickup from
possible Cardiff, replacement.
From Cardiff Airport going to Newport, because that's where you go to get badges. Did you know that? Coaching badges.
Did you? No, I didn't know that. Yeah, go on. Yeah.
So he went down there, picked up this player, got in the back, slick black hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, black hair, slick back hair. I think slick was important there.
Okay.
Heavy set.
I'm writing that down as well.
Mm-hmm. You should definitely write that down. Underline that. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Mm-hmm.
Quite foreign looking.
Okay.
Foreign looking.
Like a couple of shades off my
skin. Your
that could potentially ethnic. Be a clue as well. So Right.
Well, very close to his heritage. Egyptian.
Brown skin, and then put bracket like Damari sugar.
Or
brown sugar, if you can't spell Damari.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he picks up this heavy set, slick back hair, gentleman, on his way to Newport from Cardiff Airport, flown in there.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. It's that man, badge. Again. I have to say true or false.
Yeah.
Right, but before we get to that first part of this little thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Name the player.
So Egyptian.
Right, hang on, so
you figure it up.
Right,
Friday, taxi driver. Friend.
Yes.
Possible replacement.
Yeah.
Slip black hair.
Yeah.
Heavy set, underlined.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Foreign looking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then what? Egyptian.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Like Damari.
Yeah, or brown sugar.
Okay.
Name that player. Huge if true.
I'm gonna say out of those, Risa.
Yann Risa.
Yeah.
That's very poor. Very poor. After this, I'm gonna give you two further questions. If you don't get it, Mitch.
So is that not Risa?
Definitely not, mate.
I thought Risa looked Egyptian.
No, you haven't.
Al-Mohammadi is incorrect. Two more clues. He has played for Middlesbrough and Tottenham Hotspur.
Jonathan.
I know it now.
Okay, say it on your mind.
Meadow
is the correct answer. Jonathan, you are absolutely incorrect. Is this story true or false?
It's huge if true.
Huge if true.
So it's that time again. My little corner. Reader's Wives.
Your corner.
I'm having Stick to claim this is a corner.
We've all got corners.
Right, Reader's Wives is where I ask our followers a question on Twitter and then they give us answers and we read them out. That's what we do.
Seems
it's a question and answer feel. All right, copy.
It's a good idea.
So, what this question was is, you have leapt like that into the body of Diego Maradona. What do you do for a day? The first reply was Gareth, who said, I'd just say yes to absolutely everything that was offered to me. Oh, it would be a roller coaster.
Wow.
Just right, that's the first one. Yeah.
Do you know what my reply... I'll say another reply after this. Shout out, please.
Shout out.
Shout out.
Gormisaurus.
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 Friend of the rant.
Mascot of the rant is at Peter Amore. He said, first thing he'd do is apologise for 86, little Englander. And ask and ask FIFA to strike it from the records.
He wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Just for I don't think
it, then just play football all day with a beer in one hand and a fat Cuban in the other.
Okay, yeah.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good one.
Good finish of the day.
Chris, at this point, Etchingham 77, host of Man on the Post podcast.
Good podcast.
Yeah.
He
said to that, he said, this is the correct and only answer, which I thought was quite nice. What would you do if you were Maradona for a day?
Probably play video games, to be honest. I wouldn't really do anything different, you know.
Watch Pete practice.
Watch Pete practice.
Pete practice.
Maybe last of the summer wine.
Do you know what I would do if
have a glass of wine.
If I became Diego Maradona for a day?
Would you?
I'd party so hard, I might kill him.
I think we almost saw that last year.
What, from him or Maradona?
From him, not me.
Is it what? As Maradona or him as Maradona?
Well, who would have known?
You knew this summer, you went to Russia with me.
Yeah.
I was well behaved this summer, very well behaved. When we were in Russia,
you just barely moved from that sofa. It's the equivalent of being like a demigod. Like, I would probably go to his former clubs. Like, I'd probably go to, like, just to feel what it's like. Like, I'd go to Naples. I'd do a little tour for a day.
Imagine being Maradona and going back to Boca Juniors on match day.
The reception. Like, stand in the circle.
Like, imagine that just for a minute. You're Diego Maradona. Boca have sold out with their amazing grounds where it's just one flat.
I think
you
walk
basically
up to the centre circle and do the Randy Orton pose and just go like that. Just like,
I think you need to know what that feels like.
Can I offer a different view of this?
Yes.
Dark of
two words about what I would do if I was Maradona for the day. I've got two words for you both. Hookers and blow.
This is a great podcast.
It's that time again, folks. Bit of feedback for the show.
Feedback.
You're confident
interested
about
to do this one, yeah.
Feedback,
okay. We've had lots of feedback, so we can't read out everyone's, but we've got a few. So Philippe Albert said, it was always going to be a difficult show after the highs of last week, but I think you guys really smashed it, so well done.
Okay.
Francis Benali, you forgot to read out the details of my charity walk. Sorry, Francis, it's been a packed show
just
this week.
Keeping
binge. Yeah. Fraser Digby says, huge if true equals big hugs. And then he's put up the thumbs up emoji, the hands to the air emoji, and then the fist bump emoji.
Okay.
So that's good.
That's good.
Carol Poborski says, huge if true, jury's still out. And Jan Venegor of Hesselink says, always going to be a difficult show after the highs of last week. But I'm afraid that you guys fell a little short of the standards I would expect of a podcast that claims it still has professional podcasters at the heart of it. Really expected better from you. Can you be better next week?
Well, I take that criticism, but I'll
take
great.
It and I'll tell you where
thank
you can
you
shove it.
Yeah.
Mm. Hey, makes it stronger. Thanks, Fraser Digby. Appreciate the amount of emojis.
Carol Poborski.
Winner.
Right, guys. Time to outro.
Should we get gone?
Opposite of intro.
That's what is known as the outro in the podcast business.
I mean, some of the listeners would know that, not being in the podcast business. So the outro is when you say goodbye. And that time has come again, gentlemen.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah.
Number 78 of Touchline Rant.
Right, okay, next time I want to talk Sarri, I want to talk Chelsea, I want to talk Arsenal, I want to talk about the resurge of Champions League, how many English teams are in there. It's quite a success. I'll just figure it out.
Look forward to listening to next week's two-hour podcast.
What's edition. That? Oh, my God.
That came from nowhere.
That's dystopian future time.
It's going to happen.
Well, we'll have to listen next week then to find out.
All right, right. Follow us on Twitter at A Touchline Rant and on Instagram. Search A Touchline Rant everywhere.
Always search A Touchline Rant. ATR.
Yeah.
Follow us. Subscribe, tell your neighbours, your mates.
Give it a whirl.
Knock on your neighbour's door, put something through their letterbox they're not in. And I know it's not anything naughty or anything like that.
Everywhere that you can think of searching A Touchline Rant, search it, except for
Taxi Chat, Grindr. Word of mouth.
We're not on there.
We're not on what?
Grindr.
We're not on there. Not yet, anyway.
We're on Instagram, though. I don't know what Grindr. No. Kids or iTunes. Told me about it. The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts, y'all. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.